Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? I was the youth pastor here 20 years ago. Andy Hunt hadn't started shaving. I think the Gash Boys were in preppy. Nathan Percy was running a group called Explorers on a Friday afternoon. Dave Odd was on the eldership. Pastor Graham wasn't even the pastor then. All of these trendy marrieds here, none of them were married. Ben Wallace used to have this flannelette hat that he used to wear in high school. And maybe next time we'll tell the story about when Ben Wallace snuck into the VIP room at Planet Shakers as a 16-year-old. And so we may come up with those stories, but it's wonderful to be here. Good to see the Sandersons here today. So that first slide, Dave. Dave is on the screen today, so if I happen to say, thank you, Dave, I'm not promoting myself. If I say, well done, Dave, it's not about me, it's about him. And so thanks, Dave. Hey, 20 years ago, I came to LMC from Perth. Dave Reardon and I started running a youth ministry in Perth in 1991. Dave and I ran it together in the difficult suburb of Armidale in Perth. It was a very low socio-economic suburb, and it was a difficult suburb, just lots of complications. And we ran a youth ministry together, and we saw God do miraculous things. After about 7 years, I came here to Melbourne, and David and his wife Anne, they stayed and ran that youth ministry for another 10 years. And perhaps as we've seen in the youth ministry here at Life Ministry Centre, when I leave somewhere, it's funny how it starts to grow. When I left Perth, we had a good youth group, but it's funny, in the years after I left, it actually doubled and grew to be in the hundreds. Shona Will and I used to run a little youth group called Uproar downstairs in Hall 2, and we'd celebrate if we got about 20 kids. Funny how after I left, here we go, Nicole and Andy Hunt and Chris, now we have 100 kids coming on a Friday night. And one of the greatest joys that I get on a Friday is at about 6:30, when I drop my kids off to youth ministry, there's a stream of cars flowing out of the stadium of children who have been in that afternoon program on a Friday afternoon, but there's also a stream of cars flowing into this part of the property of parents dropping off their teenagers. And so I know there's many areas of the church that are going great, and we celebrate different areas, but my heart is just so encouraged and thrilled at what we see happening in our youth ministry. So I celebrate our staff and celebrate all the volunteers who are sowing into the lives of young people. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Dave. So today, my journey over the last 20 years has been, Emily and I went to Ferntree Gully, and we pastored a church in Ferntree Gully. Then I was involved with Youth Alive. I ran Youth Alive for many years. And then we went to Warrandyte Community Church, and we just finished pastoring there recently. And now today I'm running an organisation called ESA Country Ministries. Has anybody heard of ESA? I'm almost surprised that you have. We're a humble Christian organisation that reaches out to country churches and country youth groups. We run school holiday camps across Victoria, and this July's school holidays, we are going to have about 400 country kids on camps across the state in Swan Hill, Anglesey and Gippsland. So thank God for the journey that God takes us on. As I reflect on the property here, I made a comment to Graham a little while ago that it's amazing the change in the property in the last 20 years. When I first came, and see Graham Madeley here as well, he was on the eldership, and we had transportables up here in the school, and the questions in the eldership meetings, you know, were, you know, how much longer can we stay in these transportables? And it's astonishing to see the growth that has happened on the property. There was no stadium 20 years ago. There was no early learning centre. So let's thank God for our past, but let's look forward in faith towards the future. So this morning, I thought we'd start with something a little bit different that was meant to be LMC 20 years ago. This morning, I thought we would start with something a little bit different. Sometimes you have a video to tie up the message at the end. Today, I'd like to play it at the start. And so we're going to watch a video of an artist. And if you've seen this, sorry that we're playing it again, but I hope you'll see there's a twist. You see, I believe the kingdom of God is at work in our lives. God is at work in the background of your circumstance today. Tomorrow, many of you have to go to work. And I'm just so convinced that God is with us when we go to work. He's with us in our workplace. He's with us in the decisions that we need to make. And here we see an artist glorifying God today. Thanks, guys. We'll play that. How good's that video? Who was getting nervous halfway through going, where are we going with this? Did anybody pick it? Anybody see that? I didn't see it. And but the reason I play that early for us today is everything we do needs to point us towards Jesus. And today I want our sermon time to point us towards Jesus. Last week we heard from Mike, and he was talking about running the race. And the thing I took away from that is God wants to live as healthy Christians. I was actually with Dave Reardon on Monday, and I said, you know, Dave, why don't you and I get together and we'll work on your sermon? And we set aside some time this week. We're going to do that, and we were going to tie the loose ends together. But it's interesting because I did say to him on Monday, mate, if things don't work out and it's a difficult week, I have something I could share with the church this week. Because actually back in February when we started our series on foundations and building a foundation, I really felt the Lord just put a word on my heart. It was from Acts chapter 2. And I didn't know whether, I wasn't expecting that I'd actually share it, but I had that just in the back of my head. And so here we are today, going to share about some characteristics of a healthy church from Acts chapter 2. So thanks, Dave. We could go to this image, which if you read Acts chapter 2, there's this story about the early church. If you remember, there were people praying in the upper room and there was a suddenly moment. Suddenly. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And then Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. Wouldn't that be amazing? 3,000 people. Today, if you are not a Christian and you invite the Lord into your heart, well, today we've got Bible studies for you. In fact, the last, I saw an article where it said there's over 400 new Christian Bible studies available today. We can run an alpha course for you, and that'll help. But actually, back in Acts chapter 2, there was no alpha courses, there was no Bible, and there was no new Christian studies. And so the people would gather. They'd bring some food. Someone would offer their house. They'd bring some food and they'd start just talking about what they discovered about Jesus. And so we can read through chapter 2, and then we get to the end of chapter 2 and it talks about the church that was alive and thriving in Acts. And so when they were sitting around this table, I can imagine that people were just talking about what they discovered, that God didn't want us to live us this in like this old way. He had a new thing for us. And as I read that, and if we can go to that next slide, it reminded me of this saying, that actually, as we journey through our Christian world, we are just one beggar showing the other beggar where the bread is. We're leading each other to new life. And that's what was happening in Acts chapter 2. But then we get to verse 42, and we can go to that text. And I wonder whether today we could read together. Why don't we read these verses together as a church? This is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Come on, let's read. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. Just a second. I think we're Australians. I think when we get to awe, we should do it Australian and go, awe. So here we go again. Verse 43. A deep sense of awe, that's it, came over them all. And the apostles performed many miracles, many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Isn't that a great passage? I encourage you that you would read those early chapters of Acts and just let your heart be stirred at what God did in the early church. So there's a few things in this passage. There's actually quite a number of things. There's about 10 things that we could pick out today, but there's six of them that I just picked out today that I actually think are alive and well in our church. But this is a bit of a health checkup, a bit of a checkup for our own lives. How are we going? And so we can go to that next slide. Thanks, Dave. The first thing that we read in verse 42 is that early church, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, that word devoted, that doesn't mean they just had an interest. They just listened when it was good for them, when it fitted with their schedule. No, it says that the followers, they devoted themselves. They hung off every word of the apostles' teaching. Today, the apostles' teaching is here in the Bible. And thank God that we are a Bible-centered, Bible-believing church. The thing I love about the Bible is, I just wrote a few things up here that about the Bible. Do you know the Bible is the highest selling book in the history of the world? Every year, it's never been pushed off the number one best-selling list ever. Isn't that amazing? Every year, the Bible is the most translated book, translated into many, many languages, with many still to come. It's the most stolen book in the world. The Gideons tell us that they replace 1 million Bibles each year around the world in hotels because people have stayed in the hotel, and the Gideons are so happy about that. The Gideons want to get the Bible out there, but it's the most stolen book in the world. Today, the Bible is alive and it's relevant for us today. It's not an old book that should be covered with dust. It's a book that needs to come alive for each of us. And I want to encourage you today that we would take the time. Your life will be better if you read a chapter of the Bible each day. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You know it, don't you?
Yes.
Why don't you do it? We need to have the Bible alive in our hearts. Just as the early church, they were devoted. They wouldn't go through a week without gathering some more information about Jesus. And today I want to encourage you, just as the early church were devoted to the apostles' teaching, let's renew our passion for the Bible. Renew it. Let's make it come alive again. You know, if you have challenges tomorrow in your workplace, some of you got problems with your staff tomorrow. Well, in fact, I have. Might be me, but it might also be you. You might have problems with your staff or your budgets. You might have a complicated circumstance to work out this week. Your week will go better if you start it in the Bible. If you start there, not in your own strength, but in God's strength, it's going to go a whole lot better for you. The second thing we see in verse 42 is not only did they really hang on the teaching of the apostles, they really engaged in fellowship. The early church were known for meeting together, bringing food together, and really engaging with each other. This term is the term when it talks about fellowship, it's a Greek word, koinonia. This means more than just fellowshipping. It means more than just getting together. It talks about getting together and meeting with a greater purpose. And that purpose was to encourage each other to grow deeper in their faith. There's many ways that you can do that in this church. It's going to be difficult for a church that perhaps there's about 800 of us at the moment that, you know, call LMC home at some stage. It's hard for us to have intimate fellowship together. And that's why we have small groups. And I'm sure Pastor Chris will be really glad for me just to spend a few moments giving small groups a great plug. Life groups, sorry about that, sorry. And so we have all these life groups that you can engage and you can have koinonia, you can fellowship and grow together. And you're just like in the early churches, they grew in their faith, so will you. And so you may not go to a home and meet once a fortnight. Perhaps you serve on the communion team. Perhaps you do that and in there you find some fellowship and engagement with someone. Perhaps you serve on the music team. You could do it there, engage with others. But we are not created to do our spiritual walk by ourselves. I find that my growth happens so much better when I'm together with others. Do you agree with that? Really encourage you. Let's let fellowship grow. You know, the thing that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on today, but in this fellowship, they met together around food and they called that the Lord's Supper. Today we had a little bread, a little biscuit and a little bit of wine. Actually, you probably would have enjoyed Acts 2 a lot better because everybody's brought a lot of food. They'd bring a bit of wine, they'd bring cheese, they'd bring some meats. And the Lord's Supper, what we did there, they used to spend the afternoon doing. They had fellowship and they remembered the death and resurrection of Jesus. I hope the Lord's Supper, our communion, always remains just such a key part of our spiritual journey. The third thing, so the first thing that the early church did, they grabbed hold of the apostles' teaching. The second thing they did is they fellowshipped. The third thing they did is they prayed. They were devoted to prayer. Now, 20 years ago, I came to LMC, and actually Ross Stewart and Jill were running the teenage youth ministry 20 years ago. Chris was involved more in the young adults ministry. And early on, we agreed, Chris said, well, Dave, I just think we need to pray more. And so Chris and I were leading the young adults. And so I said, mate, I agree. I think we both should pray more. And he said, no, what about we meet together and pray each week? And I said, oh, okay, let's do that. I said, what time have you got free? And he said, oh, look, most of my nights are full. Could we do it in the mornings? Oh, yeah, okay, let's do that before we go to work. He said, there's only one problem. I start work at 7 in the morning, and I actually work in Hastings. And I said, well, what time do you want to pray? And he said, well, I reckon if you could come to my house, I'm living in Blackburn, I know you're living in Croydon, but if you could come to my house in Blackburn for 5 a.m., we could have a good hour of prayer before I go off to work. So I was setting my alarm for 4:15. Now, a note to self. If Chris Blacker ever wants you to pray with him, just say no. Only during office hours, Chris. Hey, but you know, this early church, they were devoted to prayer, and I know our church is devoted to prayer. I was back in the prayer meeting before church today, and, you know, there's just some words coming through that it's obvious that prayer is just alive in our church, but we need to stay focused on it. You know, some things I've learned from prayer is that prayer changes me as much as it changes my situation. Prayer changes my mindset and my understanding. I'm guilty, just like you, of when I have some challenges, I try and work them out myself. And then when I find I've made more of a mess, I really start praying and I say, God, you know, I seem to really mess this up. God, I need you to help me sort this mess out. Am I the only one that prays those prayers? Wow. And so these circumstances can overwhelm us, and then we pray. And it's amazing how my mindset changes. God takes me from seeing the difficulty of the storm and the circumstance, and he takes me above, and he lets me see the bigger picture. And he is in control. Hey, today, if you're facing a challenging circumstance, I encourage you to pray. Turn your eyes to Jesus and focus on him. The early church were great at praying. You know, prayer convicts me. Prayer makes me forgive others. You know, one of the humorous things I find about prayer is that if I'm mad at someone, and I'm not mad at Chris Blacker, but I'm going to use him as an example because we are such good friends. If I'm mad at him, I find when I pray, the only thing I'm hearing from God is, you just need to forgive Chris Blacker. And I'm saying, no, God, he did something wrong. I just need to sort this other thing out that's really important to me, God. Let's really focus on that. And then there's this voice coming back and says, you just need to forgive Chris Blacker. And No, God, I don't want to concentrate on that at the moment. I really need to sort this out quickly. You just need to sort that out with Chris Blacker. And so isn't that the way it works, that God is convicting us, he's changing us? We think that we're praying for others, yet actually the change that's going on is in my own heart. So I encourage you, let's be determined that we're going to pray. Prayer makes me feel more convicted to God. So our next screen, thanks Dave. The early church were devoted to God's word, to fellowship and to prayer. Thanks again, Dave. We'll go to the next passage. So moving to that second half of the reading, we read they worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. The early church were a generous church. We can go to that next slide. Thanks, Dave. The early church, this is point four, that the early church made unity a priority. Unity is so important. Thank God for the unity that we have in the church. We sit in the pews. We don't even hear a word of disunity. I'm sure the church isn't perfect. I'm sure that there's some misunderstanding sometimes. But the early church, they were determined to stay and live in unity. Hey, when someone offends you in church, go sort it out quickly. Don't let it fester. And if you've offended someone, apologise. Let them forgive you and you forgive them. Let's live in unity. The early church flourished because it lived in unity. Let's just read that verse together from Ephesians 4. I'll read it. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Isn't that a great passage? And so the fifth point today is that the early church were a generous church. This generosity, it started with the wealthy people. They would just invite everybody to their house and they just feed them all. And so there is a thought about money, but generosity is much more than money. Because I think there's a generous spirit that we can have that is a blessing to others. We can use our words to be generous to other people. And I think in a church like this, I think we need to discipline ourselves to make sure that we are being generous in our enthusiasm, generous in our encouragement. I can remember a message that was preached here about 20 years ago, and I think it might have actually been Joyce Simpson who got up about 20 years ago and said, when she comes to church, she prays, God, who can I be a blessing to today? And so she'd come to church and she'd, you know, try and be encouraging to that person and that person. And she would ask God, would you use me to bless someone today? What a great characteristic to have in your heart. Hey, maybe some of us should remind ourselves that that's what we should pray on the way to church. I'm sure there's some of you who already pray that prayer on the way to church, but I want to encourage you. Hey, why don't we do that? Because there's people in the church who need encouragement. There's people in the church, there's young people who need some love, need some encouragement, need some kindness. And we can be the vessel that God uses today. We see it in the early church, and I just encourage us. I'm sure it's happening already, but let's keep it alive in our church, a generous spirit, an encouraging spirit. And the last thing I want to say today is that the early church was a praising church. They came together and they worshiped God. And I thank God that, you know, for 20 years, you know, back in the days of Richard and Debbie Hunt. Everybody remember Richard and Deb? You know, they laid a foundation of worship in the church. And I'm sure before them, before I was around, I'm sure there were many others. But we have always been a worshiping church. And I hope that we would take encouragement from the early church, that we would keep praise upon our lips. When, you know, Andy Hunt is not going to sing your favourite song every Sunday. He's not going to do it. There'll be times when the song is playing and you're like, oh, it's not my favourite. It's not the one I like. Well, it's not about you. It's about our great God. And the thing that I'm trying to teach my kids is that they might listen to Planet Shakers or they might listen to Hillsong United, and that's really cool worship, you know, grunge guitars, young, attractive people leading the singing. I notice I don't get asked to lead anymore. But the same God that those young people are worshipping is the same God that we love worshipping when we sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. We sing, you know, how great is our God. We sing how great thou art. And if you, you know, I'd almost break out in a nice hymn this morning, you know, with a bit of encouragement, you know, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. The same God that we worship when we sing those hymns is the same God that the young people worship when they're, you know, you know, Yeah, you think that's funny, but the young people looking at the old people going, are they alive or are they dead when they're singing that? But it's the same God. It's our same God that we worship. We can worship to a grungy beat if we have to, Andy. Or we can worship when we sing, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. And so we are a multi-generational church. We want to be that. But we want to be a church that worships. So young people, you may not always like the songs, but you're worshiping a greater God. Old people, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. I want to be over there. Hey, you know the good thing about that wedding photo that I showed earlier? It's great that Emily and I look the same. Some of you have aged in the last 20 years, haven't you? It hasn't been kind to some of you. Thankfully, it's been kind to me. Hey, but you know, the same God, thank you, Dave, we can just go to that last slide. The same God that we worship in youth ministry, in kids' church, and in the seniors' meeting is the same God that we worship today, and we lift up his name. So let's be a worshiping church. So let's take these lessons from Acts chapter 2, that the early church, they loved God's word. They loved the Bible. The second thing is they loved to fellowship. They engaged with each other. They allowed themselves to be known, and they allowed themselves to know others. And thirdly, they focused on prayer. They engaged in prayer. They let prayer change them. They made unity a priority. They were a generous church. They practiced generosity. And they were a praising, they were a worshiping church. And may they say that about us. May they say that about us, that we were a church that stayed focused on these things and we glorified Jesus. We pointed people to Jesus. And so today, can I pray with you? As you go tomorrow into your workplace, as you face challenge, I pray that you would take God's Spirit with you into your workplace. Don't go alone. You're going to create a mess if you do. Perhaps this afternoon you need to grab your Bible and spend a few moments in prayer saying, God, I'm going to need your help tomorrow as I face challenges. But here we are today. Let's live out what the early church, what the things that we can learn from them in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're with us. Thank you that for the history of our own fellowship. But Father, we know that we need to look forward in faith for what you have for us in the future. And so, Father, we're grateful to you. Thank you that we can learn from the Bible today. And so, Father, as we go through our week this week, I really am praying for those who are facing difficult circumstances tomorrow and the rest of this week. Father, let us go with you. Let us take your Spirit with us. I pray your Spirit would be alive in us. And so, Father, we just give you all the glory today. Let our lives glorify Jesus, we pray. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.